How many of you are here this morning?
Amen.
Good. Amen. I find that works a little bit better. I know this, when you're going to a church where you haven't been, I've been here a couple of times, but most of you don't know me. So folk are trying to size you up to see whether they like you or not.
Yeah.
I thought I'd tell you that works both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I discovered America December 18th, 1941. And so that makes a birthday coming up in a few days. I'm grateful for the goodness of the Lord. I got saved on June 14th, 1960. I got married on November 24th, 1961. I met my wife on the school bus in 1959, and we've been in the same bus together since then. I'm grateful for a good wife. I've said many times in preaching that as a preacher's wife can enhance his ministry, can endanger his ministry, and can end his ministry. I am thankful for a good wife.
Amen.
Amen. Now then, the Bible said in Luke 19:10, I'm not going to preach there. I just want to chat with you a little bit, but I'm going to preach out of Philippians chapter 2, the Lord willing.
Amen.
But in Luke 19:10, the Bible said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Amen.
I'm glad that he is the Son of Man and the Son of God.
That's right.
Amen. And a woman too. I'm glad that he's who he said he was.
Right.
The Son of Man is come. Thank God. Could I remind you that when he stepped out of the portals of glory, that he brought grace with him.
Amen.
On the Sea of Galilee, he brought grace.
Yes.
The wayside beggar, he extended grace.
Right.
Hallelujah. Could I say he went all the way to Calvary and he exemplified grace. They took him from the cross and put him in a barred tomb. And the third day, grace came walking out of the grave.
Amen.
On the Mount of Ascension, he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen ascend shall so come in like manner." Praise God. He said as he left out, there's more grace on the way. Hallelujah to God. I'm grateful for grace. Somebody said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Another said grace is any movement that God makes toward man. I'm grateful that in mercy and in grace, he found me. Are you listening? He found one at the cross when that thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Praise God. He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He found one by the well curbing, the Samaritan woman, an outcast. Praise God. He found one up a sycamore tree. He found one in the tombs cutting himself. He found one in the jail. He found one by the roadside. He found one at the riverbank. But he found me, hallelujah, as a lost church member on the way to hell. Thank God he found me. And he's still seeking and still saving that which is lost. Don't believe anybody gets saved without being lost first. Don't believe anybody gets saved without being convicted. Don't believe anybody gets saved without repenting. And one good evidence of the fact that you repented is that you're still repenting today. I will remind you this morning that God has nothing for sale. Everything God has is a gift. It's free.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that didn't do to you what it did to me. Praise God. I'm glad that he gave himself for me. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 2.
Yes.
Philippians, chapter number 2.
Amen.
While you're turning there, I'm grateful that there's just one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Allah is not God, Mohammed's not God, but Jesus is God. Amen.
Amen.
I remind you that he is God. He is the self-existent one. He is the eternal one. He is the immutable one. He is the infinite one, and he is the omniscient God. In the book of Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, he talks about God knows everything I do. And then he said in verse 2 again, God knows everything I think.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, God knows everywhere I go in verse 3. Yeah. And in verse number 4, God knows everything I say. And in verse number 5, God knows everything I'll be. My past is behind me. My future is before me. And God knows everything that I am capable of. And I remind you that he still loves me. Well, I want to preach a little bit from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. And I begin reading in verse number 1. The scripture said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to pray, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach to you about. I don't like folks coming at me after I preach and said, that's a good talk. I don't like that. God didn't call me to talk. He called me to preach. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of God to be upon these feeble lips. Lord, I know I'm not capable of doing anything that would please you or bless anybody, but I give myself to thee. I pray that you take my mind and think your thoughts, and take my lips and speak your truth. I pray for your anointing to be manifest in our midst. I pray if there be one here today unsaved, that they might be born again by the grace of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might encourage your children, and that you might help us, Lord, to draw nigh to thee, accomplish your purpose, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, I pray, amen and amen. Now, in reading the scriptures, I trust you do.
Yes.
You do read the Bible, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, don't understand what I read. Read it anyway. The word of God's a cleansing agent.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Jesus said in John 15:3, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. So we read the word of God. As we read the word of God, the author of the word lives in me.
Yes, sir.
He come in the day I got born again.
Yeah.
Saved, S-A-V-E-D, saved by the grace of God. I was a lost church member. When I was a boy, 12 years old, the preacher came to our house. We didn't go to church. But the preacher from the Methodist church came over our place and said, I thought maybe you'd like to join the church tomorrow. I said, Donald's going to join. Well, Donald was my best buddy. And so I thought, boy, that's what I'll do. So I joined the Methodist church when I was 12 years old. I went through the sprinkler system. I went through the catechism classes. Lost and undone without God and without hope. But on June 14th, 1960, I went to see my girlfriend. I didn't go to get saved. I went to see my girlfriend at a youth meeting on a Friday night. And I don't know who preached. There was a preacher. He preached from the second coming of Christ. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? I didn't know anything about that. He said, if the Lord were to come tonight, are you ready to meet him? I knew I wasn't ready to meet him. While I'm sitting back there minding my own business, the Holy Ghost came to where I was and whispered in my ear and said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe I will. I'm saying to you, I'm not sidestepping repentance. I'm not sidestepping conviction. But when I knelt, the blood fell. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God. I thought I'd tell you, it's holding real good. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because he saved me by his grace. So when I got saved, I got in church. And I've missed more church in the last month than I have in my entire Christian life. And I missed that on purpose to be with my wife in the hospital and in this time of major surgery. And by the way, you can call me anything you want to. Help yourself, get in line. I got a lot of, well, I better not go there. I'm saying I'm grateful for the Word of God. But in reading the Word of God, there's times that the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, our instructor, our guide, will magnify a portion of Scripture. It's almost like the word leaps off the page. Yes. And so while reading in Philippians, I was reading alone, and I came to verse number five. And the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found as in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." And so here's the word that the Spirit of God just kind of burned in my heart. It's the thought on this one word, himself.
Amen.
And so I want to preach to you a little while this morning on the Lord himself. Matthew 1:21, the Bible said, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Not in their sin, but from their sin.
Right.
Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible said, "For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And by the way, that name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm grateful that Jesus is alive and well. He lives in my heart. He's in control. He's not bothered about anything that goes on in politics, about anything that's going on in the world today. He's fully in charge. Amen. And could I say this? On numbers of occasions in the Scripture, we read of things that's done by the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, I'm reminded of the Lord himself. There's these events that took place that associated with that phrase is profound, they're significant, and have deep meaning, and they're instructive for us. I say to you, first of all, as I think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we'll be looking at several scriptures, if you'll back up with me to the book of Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter number 1, so keep your Bibles in hand. We're not reading from a funny book, we're reading from the King James Bible. Amen. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ," here it is, "who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Now, think of that. What a statement. He gave himself for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave himself. In the book of Titus chapter 2. Notice with me, Titus chapter number 2. And I'll read a verse or two from there. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation that appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now, could I tell you, I could preach it all morning long just on the thought that Jesus Christ gave himself for me. Someone said, you know, I've heard preachers, independent preachers, preach that Jesus Christ was murdered. No, he wasn't murdered. He gave himself. In John chapter 10, he said, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again." I heard a reputable, nationally known preacher say this: had Jesus Christ died in the electric chair, his death would have been just as effective as it was at dying upon the cross. That is heresy. That is blasphemy. It takes the blood. By the way, that is literal blood. Amen. It is exceptional blood. There's no other blood like that blood. Effective blood, and it is essential blood, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the blood, God's dear Son, the blood of Christ that, that cleanses from all sin. He, the Holy One, he came down to earth and became what he had never been before, that you and I might be made children of God. And Romans 5:8, the Bible said, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he said, you know the grace of God, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Thank God for the gift. Hallelujah. Thank God he gave him. That is, he took my place. He suffered my hell. Listen, he suffered my hell for all eternity, that I might be a child of the King. John heirs with Jesus. He gave himself for us. So I'm saying this, what would cause the Lord to leave heaven and a sphere in which he shared the glory with his Father and come to this world? It was his love for the Father. It was said of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, in that same context, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And by the way, he said he thought it not robbery. That's that what it said?
Yeah.
Thought not robbery. And by the way, he made himself of no reputation.
Yes.
But he took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of a servant. Now, he gave himself that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly.
Right.
Anybody who goes to heaven will be because of the love of God.
Yes. Yes.
And because of the price. He gave himself.
Yes.
He gave himself for us. So the scripture said of the Lord Jesus that he did always those things that please the Father. I believe that redemption was planned before the foundation of the earth. Somebody said when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's a wonderful thought. But before the foundation of the world, I was on his mind. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the one who gave himself. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the way, they're not scars in his hands, they're wounds.
That's
it. Amen. We understand that he gave himself for us. Now, he did that because of his love for the Father, but because of his love for us. He loved me. Now, and by the way, he gave himself. He came to do the Father's will. He came to glorify the Father. He came to complete the work. He came to shed his blood. He gave himself for us to save us from the guilt and penalty of sin. And so Paul wrote it down in Romans 5:1. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Thank God he redeemed us so that we might be free from the dominion of sin and be with him for all eternity. And so he gave himself. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, notice with me again. And this ties right together with what we're saying. In Hebrews chapter number 1, notice with me in verse number 3, the Bible said, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down with the right hand of the majesty on high. It was by himself that he purged our sin. It's not Jesus and works. It's not Jesus and the water. It's not Jesus and the wafer. It's not Jesus and wonder. It's just Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. By himself, he purged our sin. The Old Testament priest offered sacrifices that could never take away the sin. It was only a temporary covering and had to be repeated year after year after year. But every sacrifice that was made was pointing to a time when the perfect sacrifice would come. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he gave himself fully and he gave himself freely that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He gave himself for us. And by himself he purged our sins. But I want you to turn with me to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 13. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, I want you to see with me this thought. In John chapter 13, the Bible said this. In verse number 3, the scripture said, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now then, he not only gave himself for my sins, that's salvation, but he girded himself, and it is a It is an act of restoration and cleansing. And so he's not only, are you listening? He's not only interested in my redemption, my salvation.
Right.
He is interested in my sanctification.
That's right.
He's interested in my cleansing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's interested in my cleansing. Lord. Now, there's never been a day when I've had to come back and said, "Dear Lord, would you save me again?" But there's not been many days in my life as a Christian that I hadn't had to come back and say, "Dear Lord, would you forgive me my sin? Would you cleanse me?" And I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin and continues cleansing, and it'll continue to cleanse. And God is interested in my sanctification. That's why your preacher preaches about separation and preaches about godly living and preaches about holiness, because God's not only interested in my being born again, he wants me to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so he's interested in my sanctification. He girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. Now, could I tell you, this is not talking about relationship. It is talking about fellowship. And it only takes one sin to get you out of fellowship with Christ. Dr. Raymond Barber said this, said, "You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. It's what you occupy your mind with."
Yep.
Dr. Harry Ironside said, "It's one thing for a bird to fly over your head, it's another thing for a bill to nest in your hair."
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
Temptation is not sin, but when you yield to it, it's sin.
Yep.
Hello?
That's right.
God's interested in my cleansing. And so he washed the disciples' feet. Yep. Somebody said, "You believe in foot washing?" "Oh, yes, I do." Because if you don't wash them, they'll begin to stink pretty quick. But foot washing is not a church ordinance. Amen. But the principle is a biblical principle. When you get saved, you never have to be rewashed all over, but you have to get your feet clean. How's your feet looking this morning? In this world, it's a world of sin and ungodliness, and you're very apt to get your feet dirty. And so God's interested in our cleansing. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to reflect the Lord Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
And so he's interested in my cleansing. He girded himself. The Lord who made all things and holds all things together came down to earth. And what amazing grace and what humility that was. What an act of mercy. I'm glad that God does not kick me out of the family when I sin.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But he's interested in my cleansing. That's why the Spirit of God does what? He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He reproves of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He convicts us. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know about it. It never bothers me." You're probably not saved. Hello? I'm not the judge, but I'm telling you this. You go through life and said, "Well, I've never been convicted about anything." There's something bad wrong in the spiritual department of your life. Not everybody said the going's going. Amen. You understand that? Now I'm saying, and notice with me the book of Romans. Let's see another thought. I'm talking about he gave himself for my sin. He girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. But in the book of Romans, I'm looking at Romans chapter 15. In the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, I'm going some for you to stay with me. The Bible said in verse number one, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." And so here he not only gave himself for me, he girded himself and washed the disciples' feet, but he said he made himself of no reputation. We've got folk today, and I'm sorry, but folk even in ministry that spend their lives, their time, their efforts trying to build a reputation. I tell you what, if you'll take care of making much of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll take care of the reputation department. Amen. And while I'm passing by, let me just say this. I don't believe there's going to be any peacocks in heaven. I meet some fellas along the way, they're so impressed with their preaching that they sign their own Bibles. Hello? But he made himself of no reputation. He's not, are you listening? He's here doing what? Representing the Father. He is God. He's doing all things to please the Father. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you, we're in trouble today when it comes in this department. We've got folks that will build a ministry around themselves and make a reputation for themselves and be known for certain things. I'm telling you, our goal, our ministry is to exalt the Son of God. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And so if the singing doesn't exalt the Lord, it's not glorifying. I'm saying if the preaching does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not pleasing. Amen. And if your life is not exalting the Lord, there's something wrong.
That's right. Amen.
I read this statement the other day, and a man said this. He said, you do not have to be a twin to be a brother. And that kind of stuck in my heart, and I've been thinking about that. We've got too many preachers today that's trying to get the fellowship and get the family of God to be like them, think like them. Hello? Now, I know what Paul said. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And it's all right if you keep it in that order. But if you're following Christ, you won't be trying to get folks to think like you. Or to act like you. Shake your head so I can hear it. Hello. And so we want to be like him. That I may know him. The power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. That should be our goal. To be like him. But Jesus himself made himself of no reputation. He's doing what? He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He had one mission in mind, and that was to die upon an old rugged cross for you and for me, that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. That's good.
Could I say, there's a well-known writer that said this, that Jesus didn't know what his mission was until he was 30 years old. That's heresy. That's blasphemy. Jesus knew what his mission was when he stepped off the portals of glory. Are you listening to me? He came to die in your place and to die. If that ever gets a hold of your heart, it'll transform your life. Realize that he, the Holy One, suffered all hell for all sinners for all eternity, that we might be children of God. He made himself of no reputation. He gave himself. He girded himself. He made himself of no reputation. And could I say, he said he pleased not himself. He was ever the Father's delight at the beginning of his ministry when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Yep. Not John the Presbyterian.
Right.
Or John the Episcopalian. He's baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. He's baptized, he comes up out of the water. The Spirit in the form of a dove descends, and the voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can I say to you, that's the beginning of the ministry. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, he's manifest and transfigured before the eyes of Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah. And the Father again said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. I'm saying he did always those things that please the Father. And the Father put his stamp of, I wonder today, if the Father was to speak from heaven, would he save your life or my life? He did those things that pleased me. I'm well pleased. I don't know about you, brethren. I'm not in competition with another preacher. I've never knocked on a door and said, would you let me preach in your pulpit? I had some peckerwoods when I was pastor that came and said, God told me that I was supposed to preach at your church. I said, that's a strange thing. You never said anything to me. Hello. There's a certain things as ethics in ministry.
Yes, sir.
And there's some folks don't have much of it.
Amen.
And so he pleased not himself. He said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And throughout this earthly ministry, he sought above all things to do what? To glorify the Father. What did Paul say? He said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so I'm reminded of this. It was to do the Father's will. He did it voluntarily. He endured the reproaches, the mockery, the hatred, the enmity, and the hostility of men toward God. And may God help us to be less self-centered and more God-centered in our lives.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Notice them in Hebrews chapter 5. And let's see. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 5. And let's see, verse, I believe it is Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm looking at verse number 5. The Bible said this. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, that he, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, he glorified not himself. He did not seek self-glorification. He's doing what? The Father's will. He's pleasing the Father. And by the way, he did not seek self-gratification in the office of the great high priest.
Right.
He's doing what? Glorifying the Father. Yes. Now then, turn with me to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. You said, this is scattered. Well, just let me scatter it a little bit. Luke chapter 24. 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And I'm looking in 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And the Bible said in verse number 15, this is the case when the disciples on the Emmaus road after the crucifixion, resurrection. The Bible said, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, Jesus did what? He gave himself. He, by himself, purged our sins. He girded himself. He glorified not himself. He's pleasing the Father. And now I find that Jesus does what? He drew near.
Yes.
These two disciples that are so overwhelmed about what has taken place, Jesus draws near, and they don't know it. They don't know who he is. Jesus himself draws near. So in their depression, Christ appeared. And in their discussion, Christ assured. And in their dwelling, Christ abode.
Amen.
Now, could I say this? He's alive. They're not. They don't recognize who he is. But in their distress, and in their discussion, and in their dismay, the Lord Jesus drew near.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And he was known of them. How? In the breaking of the bread. There's been times I've been saved over 56 years, but there's been times when the Lord has drawn near to me.
I find
this, preacher, there's times in my study that I run across a passage that I have questions about.
Yep.
So I pull the commentaries down, and I find that they had the same question.
Yeah.
And so neither one of us know.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing is praying and asking God, and Jesus himself draws near and said, Son, this is the explanation. This is the definition. This is it. And by the way, when God tells you that, you go to the bank with it. You don't have any question about it. God settles it all.
Amen. Amen.
He draws near. Yes. And there, and the Bible, they said within themselves, did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us along the way?
Amen.
Many years ago, I came to Charlotte, North Carolina. I was pastoring in Thomasville, Georgia. And I brought with me three men to the Southwide Baptist Fellowship at Northside Baptist Church. And in that meeting, several well-known preachers were preaching, but Dr. B.R. Lakin was one of the featured speakers. And I'm telling you, God walked in.
Yeah. Yeah.
God manifested himself. And so we left after Wednesday night service and headed back to South Georgia. And we began to pray one after another out loud, one after another in turns, from the time we left Charlotte into the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia. And I say to you, God walked with us. God manifested himself to us in such a real and definite way that it transformed our lives. I'm thankful that Jesus himself draws near in the time of testing,
right.
Jesus draws near.
Yes.
In the time of the loss of a loved one, Jesus himself draws near.
That's right.
I'm telling you, in the difficult times, Jesus draws near. In those times when there's no one to talk to, Jesus will draw near. In the time when everybody else seemed to misunderstand, Jesus himself draws near, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, knows my down, sitting up, rise, my thoughts are far off, and Jesus himself draws near and manifests himself unto us. Jesus himself drew near. And then I want you to see with me a little later in that chapter, the Bible said in verse 27 of Luke 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yes. He's doing what? What a Bible study. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he taught them all things concerning himself. So Jesus himself draws near and tells him all things concerning himself. That didn't come from BBN. That came from the Lord himself, and he revealed all things concerning himself. And that's what I need to know today, brethren. That's what you need to know, is the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that he's interested in, the things that he wants for your life. And could I say it this? He did what? In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, in all the scriptures. And so we get a great understanding of what the Lord wants me to know. He wants me to know about the Lord Jesus himself. I find him on the pages of Genesis all the way through the pages of the book of the Revelation. This is my hymn book, H-I-M book. This is my Jesus book. It's all about him. It's not about you. Well, I hope you're not through already. I've got one little thought I want to mention to you. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible said this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these sayings. I'm saying here is the Lord himself shall descend. He's not going to send Gabriel.
No.
Oh, no, the Lord himself.
Yes.
In Acts 1, he said, this same Jesus that you've seen ascend is coming again. He's going to come again. The Lord, the love of our God is so great that he wants us to be with him forever. In John chapter 17, verse 24, that's a part of his prayer. The prospects for this world is grim for the believer. The Lord could come at any minute now. You know that. He could come this morning. But until he comes, may God help us as individuals and as churches collectively to seek to serve and to witness for him in love, doing his will, showing love one for another, and to the lost all about us.
Yes.
I want to report to you that this gospel still works.
Yes.
I had the privilege of preaching a few minutes one night last week, and at the close of the service, without any coercion, without any begging or pleading, a little 17-year-old came down the aisle, bowed down at the altar, and got born again by the grace of God. Don't think, no. Wouldn't think for a second that it was my preaching, but God uses men to preach the word of God, and it's God who does the saving.
Yes.
And so I hope that you'll be reminded in this Christmas season, it's not about the tinsel, it's not about the beautiful flowers, it's not about the gifts, it's not about family reunions, it's not about meals, it's about the Lord himself. The Lord himself. He gave himself, he girded himself, he made himself of no reputation, he glorified not himself, Jesus himself drew nigh, and Jesus will come again just like he said he would. Would you bow with us in prayer? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, thank you today for this privilege of sharing just a thought, and I pray that he, the Holy Ghost, might enlarge upon the message. Lord, we're so limited And I pray that you might help us today to center our attention upon him. May we love him with all our heart, and may we exemplify him in our life. I pray that you defeat the enemy, and Lord, help us not to be sidetracked. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to thee. I pray that you might accomplish your purpose in the invitation. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask today, how many of you know that Jesus is your Savior? Can I see your hand? He's your Savior, and you're glad about it. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank you. I wonder if there'd be someone here today say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand that I know Christ as my Savior, but I'm interested. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Man, a woman, a boy, a girl? I see one. Thank you. I tell you, Jesus loves you, and he'll save you today if you'll let him. Anybody else say, please pray for me? Pastor's going to come and give the invitation. Trust that you'll let the Lord have his way. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts. Accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name.